Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Happy New Year's.
Almost.
Almost. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm just excited to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. We have much to give thanks for. You know, I just, you know, every year I always think about this. You guys could be out there at some bar or some club getting drunk, but you choose to be here, so that's a good thing. Hey, you won't have to wake up tomorrow with a hangover, so that's a good thing. We started our service later tonight, and I can only preach about a four-hour sermon, so that's what we put down, put it back a little bit more. So I should be done by 12 o'clock, and, well, just a little bit before 12, so we can, you know, kind of ring in the New Year's. How about that?
Huh?
Amen. Amen? All right. So you guys are ready to go long?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to work our way from Genesis all the way to about maps, right there. We're going to stop at maps. You know, there's that story about when Paul, he was preaching all night, and one of the guys, he was sitting in the window, and he fell asleep, you know, and he fell out and died, you know, and Paul had to go and do a revival and went right back up and just continued to preach. And so hopefully there's no windows here for anyone to fall through, so we should be good. Tonight we're going to do a little, of course, we're taking a break from our Through the Bible. We're going through, for those of you who are visiting, we usually go through at least a chapter a week through the Old Testament on Wednesdays. We are making our way through 1 Samuel, but tonight I'm doing a little topical. I want to talk about my New Year's resolution. And you might want to say, you might be thinking, Alan, I thought you said you don't make any New Year's resolution. Well, I'm making one. So bear with me. If you have your, well, I guess you don't have a spot because I didn't give you one. But if you have your Bible, just hold on to it. We'll get to a couple places I'll make references to. So if you're ready, let's pray. Father, again, we give you thanks for blessing us with life and life to the abundance. And we know that life only comes in you when we surrender to you, Lord. And so here we are, Lord, celebrating not another year, Lord, but another you. Lord, another year with you. And we're so grateful that you have chosen us, that you have saved us and given us an opportunity to know you personally. So, Father, as we, again, for the very last time of this year, open your word. Lord, I pray that you will open our minds and our hearts that we may receive what your word have to say. So thank you, Lord. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick question. Let me ask, how many of you think that you're perfect, that your life is perfect? Okay, we have one, we have two. See me afterwards. We'll be counseling about lying. How many of you see just maybe a couple areas in your life that you need to change? Okay, all right, a lot. Dump truck worth of stuff. All right. How many of you, maybe just at least one thing, just one. One, okay, just one. All right, so everybody that say there's just one, everything else is perfect, it's just that one thing that needs to change, right? See me afterwards, we'll do some counseling as well. I'm bringing this up because the reality is every year, of course, on the topic of New Year's resolutions, millions of people every year are saying, you know what, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And, of course, when you look at the New Year's, the top 10 New Year's resolution for 2014, I'll just read them real quick. Number one on the list, can anyone guess? Lose weight. Lose weight. Do I look like I need to lose weight? I'm trying to gain weight, but nothing happening. Number two, getting organized. Number three, spend less or save more. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. Number five, staying fit and healthy. Number six, learn something exciting. Number seven, quit smoking. When I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't have to worry about smoking because I'm not going to hell, so I won't be smoking there. Number eight, help others in their dreams. Number nine, listen, fall in love. And number 10, spend more time with family. How many of you can identify with any of these? How many of you have tried these things? Chances are, if you've tried, well, some of these, you probably have failed. What's interesting is I read a survey of what people's New Year's resolution was in 1947. And on top of the list, on the bottom of the list, the number 10, can anyone guess what it was? Number 10, lose weight. Things have changed, huh? Number 3 on the list was stop smoking. Number 2 was improve my character or live a better life. And number 6, I just want to bring attention to this, be more religious, go to church often. More often. That didn't make the list this year. It seems like spirituality is out the door. And when you look at the world and you see that the world is getting better, isn't it? Oh, no, it's not. People have kicked God to the curb and they're trying to do God without, do life without Him, trying to get whatever they're looking for in life apart from God. So, on the topic of New Year's resolutions, why do we make New Year's resolutions? Well, of course, because we want to change our lives. We want to live a better life. In reality, we look at ourselves and say, I don't like what I see. You know, kind of like you look in the mirror like I did this morning and say, oh, no, got to cut my hair, you know. Got to change something. And that's why every year people are eager to change something in their lives. And so, some of you, you probably are saying, I need to be a better husband, a better dad, a better son. Some of you, a better mom, a better wife, better employee, employer. Some of us want to live healthier, happier lives. Some of us, want to get out of debt. And some of you probably really need to get out of debt after this Christmas, huh? You spend it all and then say, oh, Lord, help me get out of this debt. If you just give me some more money, Lord, I'll be able to get out of debt. Lord will probably say, why don't you just work with what I give you? You see, the problem with making New Year's resolution is that, of course, only 8%, according to this survey, only 8% ever fulfill their resolution. And because of that, well, 38% of us say, you know what, forget the resolution. I'm not going to make any anymore because I always fail. It's said that 25% of New Year's resolution makers fail within the first week. 25. And within the first month, 36. And every month that passes, it keeps getting higher. Why is such high failure? Why such a high failure rate? Listen, because of the simple fact of competing priorities. In other words, when you say, you know what, this year I'm going to live healthier, I'm going to join the gym. And as soon as you do that, well, your wife says, well, I want to spend more time with you. Your kids say, daddy, daddy, mommy, what about me? Your job demands more time of you. And so that first week, where it was so good, now it's out the door. Competing priorities. So the question then becomes, should we just, again, be the 38% and say, you know what? I don't make resolutions anymore. I'm done with it. Well, let me ask you, do you need a change in your life? We all admit that we have things that we need to change. And so, for us to say that we don't need to make any resolutions is to say, well, I'm content with my life. The reality is we're not content with our life. Matter of fact, God is not content with our lives. Why? He died for us. He said, your life is messed up. I'm going to die for you so that you can change. As has been said, he loved you too much to leave you the way that you are. And so we shouldn't have a problem with resolutions because, again, making resolutions is really to say, I'm looking at myself and saying, these are areas that I need to change. These are some things that I need to do so that I can be a better believer, a better Christian, a better dad, or whatever you set your heart to do. See, the problem is not making resolution. I believe the problem that we have is our priorities. Our priorities. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said, For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You see, Paul is saying, well, when it comes to bodily exercise, you know, of course, we want to go to the gym and we want to get healthy and all of that. He said it profits a little. He said it didn't say it's not beneficial. It profits a little. But what's more important is godliness, because godliness, well, it is not only good for this life, but also to the life to come. You see, the key to achieving your resolution is making God our priority. Making God our priority. You see, when we set out to lose weight, to be a better dad, a better wife, whatever it is, again, it profits a little. But when you set out to become more godly, listen, it profits a whole lot. And here's why. I've used this illustration in the past. When you get the vertical correct, then the horizontal is corrected as well. You see, I have my buttons on my shirt, and all of you know when you're buttoning your shirt, you start from the top, and you get the top one right, because if you get that one right, then all of the rest will fall in place. It's the same thing with life. The Bible tells us what? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added onto you. But here's what we do. Here's what the world is doing according to these New Year's resolutions is that, well, we're saying, well, I'm going to seek these things first, and I'll worry about God later. You see, the problem is with us, we cannot change ourselves. No matter how hard we try, how hard, if I could, you know the train that could. No matter how hard we try, we always will fail because we can't change ourselves. Only God can change us. And so the key, again, to becoming a better man, woman, student, whatever you want to be, is to become more godly. But here is the problem that I see. If you are setting out, and I know some of you have probably done it and said, well, I'm going to set this New Year's resolution. I'm going to be more godly. So on January 1st, I'm going to get up with the family in the morning. I'm going to pull out the Bible, the one that has the dust on it, and I'm going to be the priest of my house. And you do it, and you felt like a real man, a priest, you know? Then the next morning, you wake up. You're tired from this staying up till midnight tonight. You see, the problem that we have, even when we make spiritual resolutions, we still fail. We still fail. Well, how can we avoid that? How can we avoid failing in our spiritual resolution? Well, I have a couple of things that you, if you want to take notes. If you want to take note, number one, don't set a New Year's resolution. Set a daily resolution. Set a daily resolution. What am I saying? Well, you see, when you make a New Year's resolution, what you're saying is, well, for this year, I want to do this. And what happens is, as the days pass, as the weeks pass, and you don't fulfill that goal, you give up. But if you, well, as they use this illustration in the past, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You see, when you focus in on, well, I want to make God my priority, then you get up every day, and, well, according to Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then he said, this is Jesus, to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross when? Daily, and follow me. You see, in order to follow the Lord, in order to become more godly, it's not, well, I show up to church on Sunday and that's good for the week. No, it's a daily walk with him. Because why? He wants a daily relationship with you. And in every day, a part of your life, every day, there's something that he wants to address. There's something that he wants to change. I know, again, we set out and say, this is what I want to do, but is that what God wants you to focus on today? And so he says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, we all know it. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily is a daily walk. See, I've said it in the past. I don't kiss my wife today and say, I'll see you in a year. What is that? Where are you going? I love you. No, you don't. It's that daily relationship the Lord wants. So we need to ask that question. Lord, when we wake up, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to focus on today? Is it my marriage? Spending time with the kids? What is it, Lord? And whatever he tells you to do, listen, do it heartily unto the Lord. Do it with all your might and be excellent in that thing, because tomorrow, well, it might be something else he wants you to work on. You see, we as believers, we live, our life is supposed to be dynamic, not static, not a one-dimensional. It's dynamic, just like the Holy Spirit is dynamic. Are we not led by the Holy Spirit? You know what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8? He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, the Lord is going to move us around and do different things in our lives. And if you're just holding on to this one resolution, well, I'm going to do what? Be a godly father or whatever it is. Listen, he might want to do something different in your life today or tomorrow. And you have to be flexible. You have to be movable. Or if you're not, then you're going to break. You're going to give up. The second thing that I see that we can do to avoid failing at our spiritual resolution is, well, get on a weight loss program. You might say, Alan, what does that have to do with spirituality? Listen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the writer tells us, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Did you hear the weight loss program that the writer of Hebrew has here for us? Set aside the weight and the sin. You see, what are these things that the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that there are things that's going to prevent you from fulfilling your spiritual calling, from allowing you to be the spiritual person that God has called you and ordained for you to be. So what is the weight? What is the sin? Well, if you're taking note again, the weight, things that weigh us down, that not necessarily is sin. It's not saying it's sin, it's not sinful, but again, it's distracting. It pulls us away from what God is calling us to do. So for example, I know in here we have some sports fans, and I know some guys, man, when you talk about sports, you say, man, Jaguar, whatever their favorite team is, man, they can tell you everything. They can even tell you when their team is a losing team like Vikings or something. throwing stones here. And it's again, it's not a sin to love sports, but when it becomes an idol, when it becomes a distraction, so instead of going to, instead of spending time with the Lord, you're spending time learning about all of the players and all of their stats and what school they came from, all those things. I think that's a little overbearing, a little too much. And some love the video games, you know? Alan, I don't like what you're talking about here. What about social media? That's been a big distraction for us today. I'm guilty. You know, I get on my computer and I do F. Oh, where am I going? Facebook. No, let me stay away from that. It's so addicting. Do you know that the average American spends 23 hours a week either online or texting? 23 hours. How many of you say that you don't have time? I just wish I had more time in a day. It's so much to do. Well, I can carve out 23 hours there. You can get a lot done with that. Or the television. Again, your favorite show, what is it? You know, again, looking at the statistics, children spend 2 to 11 hours watching TV every week. Adults between the age of 35 and 49, I'm below that age, I think, they watch more than 33 hours a week. Again, time? I need time. God, can you make it 24 hours, 25 hours in a day? I need more time. See, we have to ask ourselves these questions. You know, again, it's not a sin to do these things, but again, is it contributing to your godliness? Is it making you a better person? Is it making you a better father or wife or husband? Whatever it is it helping in those areas? And so, according to the writer of Hebrews, well, you may want to lay some of those things down, or at least cut back on it. If you can't, though, cut it out. You know, throw out the television. Put a password. Give your wife the password to the computer. Do something. Cut it out. Fast from it for a week or a month. I'll tell you what, you won't regret it. And what about the sin? Well, again, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Notice that the writer of Hebrews starts off in chapter 12 saying, therefore. And whenever you see therefore, you know you have to see what it's there for. So you go back to chapter 11. And what you will find is, well, refer to chapter 11 as the Hall of Faith. And in this Hall of Faith, it has men and women that were faithful, that were seeking the Lord, that the Lord said, man, these guys, these gals, their name needs to go down in history as people who put faith in me and I did great things in their lives. But here's the deal. We look at these people, some of them, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David. Well, we all know of their stories. But here's the deal. They were not all perfect. Matter of fact, some of them had sin that weighed them down. Sin that turned them from seeking the Lord and doing what was right. And so when you look again at Noah, well, Noah, he built a big ark. He built a big barge and put all the animals on it, and he saved the world with God's command. But what was Noah's sin? Well, he got off the boat, and what did he do? He got drunk. He got addicted to alcohol, man. Some of us are addicted to something. What are you addicted to? You see, the Lord wants to deliver us from that stuff. But are you willing to give it up, whatever it is that you're holding on to, or what's holding you? When you look at Abraham, Abraham was the father of faith. But do you know that Abraham was a man full of doubt? Do you know that he was a liar? If you don't know Abraham's story, listen, don't. This is our, you know, let me just keep it in here. I don't want to gossip. But Abraham, listen, he went down to Egypt with his wife. And he told his wife, Sarah, he said, listen, if Pharaoh knows that you're my wife, he might kill me and take you. So say that you're my sister. How about that? And so Pharaoh saw how beautiful Sarah was, and he said, I want her. So he took her, put her in the harem, and he was going to make her one of his mistresses, one of his wives, you know. And guess what Abraham got? He got sheep and goats. Man, he had a good deal. He exchanged his wife for sheep and goats and a couple of donkeys. Abraham had the sin of doubt and the sin of lying. And some of us, again, we struggle with that. The Lord is want to do a work in our lives, and he's calling you to step out in faith. But, man, sometimes we're just like, you know what? I'm not going to trust the Lord in this. Let me go and do something else. And we go around the Lord. Are you struggling with that? You might want to put that down and exercise faith. We look at Moses, man, again, a man, when you look at the Israelites, they just look up to Moses as one of the greatest men that ever lived. We know the story, the parting of the Red Sea, you know, calling down fire into Egypt, you know, all kinds of things. But what about Moses? What weighed him down? Listen, Moses had an anger problem. The Lord told him to speak to the rock. Ah, those Israelites, and he struck the rock. Why you gave me this problem? You know, he had an anger problem. And because of that, he didn't enter into the promised land. Listen, do you have an anger problem? Do you struggle with your emotions? Not just anger, there's a lot of different emotions that, especially the women talk, let's move on. What about Rahab? Rahab, the prostitute in the hall of faith? Oh, yes. You see, the Lord changes everyone. He has a plan for everyone, even the worst of sinners. But you see, for Rahab, what was holding her down? Well, it was her career, man. She had a career in prostitution. And some of us, it's our jobs that are holding us back from the Lord. Lord, let me just make this raise. Let me just do these things. Then I'll come seeking after you. And you're putting in the overtime, trying to make the extra money. And Lord is saying, what about me? When are you going to put give space in your heart for me? Put in me first. And then we know of Gideon. Man, Gideon, the guy who, with just 300 men, fought off how many thousands of people, soldiers, and won. Well, what did he struggle with? Well, he struggled with the sin of pride. Do you remember when he was going into battle, he told his soldiers, he said, say this word, he said, shout, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And for Gideon? Yeah, Gideon, the mighty man of valor. You know, he wanted everyone to know who he is. But again, some of us can be struggling with that sin of pride. You see, and the Lord will be calling you and saying, hey, I want you to glorify me in your life. But you're at work and you're like, well, I can't tell anybody I'm a Christian because why? That would mess up my name. See, we all struggle with something. Are you struggling with the sin of pride? You might want to lay that down. What about Samson? Samson, the man that was strong and mighty like me, you know. I don't have to lift weights. I have natural strength like Samson. I don't even have to grow my hair out. See, Samson was a man of passion. Do you know when Samson see a woman, he said, I want that woman to be my bride. Dad, take her for my bride. You know, that's what he did. And every time he saw a woman, he wanted her. He was passionate. And again, a lot of us are passionate about, and I mentioned, you know, sports. We're passionate about sports. You know, we're passionate about our hobbies. We're passionate about so many things. And because of his passion, Samson's passion, listen, it led to compromise. It led to his destruction. Listen, again, having a passion is a good thing. But again, if it leads you away from the Lord, it can be very deadly. And then, of course, lastly, we know of David. David, King David, and we know his sad story. Even though he was a man that was after God's own heart, he had, of course, committed adultery, committed murder. And sadly, it's far too often, especially for men, that we will look on to a woman that's not our wife, and that we will lust after her, and God forbid, go even further, and destroy and murder, really, our marriage. See, all of these are sin. I'm sure there's so many other things. But again, when it comes to resolutions, again, is Lord, search me. Are there any evil things? Are there any things that's going to cause me to sin against you? That's going to cause me or prevent me from being that person, that godly person that you want me to be? Again, if our horizontal, our vertical is not correct, then all of the other things, the other areas in our life will fall apart. And so it's so important that we get these things out of our life, that we lay down these weights. Yes, you may stumble, you may fall, but listen, that's what brings us to the third and final point of this message. Listen, strive to succeed, but prepare for failure. You see, a lot of times when we fail at something, we give up. You know, I look at my son. He's kind of a perfectionist. Whatever he sets out to do, if it's to draw something or create something, he wants it to be a masterpiece. And when it doesn't turn out the way that he wants it to, then he breaks down and he kind of stumps off and just goes off to the room, you know. I don't want to be bothered, you know. He's the 38% that never makes the resolutions again. You know, Craig, on Sunday, he mentioned this one thing that just stood out to me. He said, if you're not failing, it's because you're not trying. And we can't, as believers, we can't just sit around and say, I'm not going to try because I'm afraid to fail. Failure is not a good thing. If you know the story of Thomas Edison, well, we are benefiting from his bulbs, his light bulbs. And maybe you don't know his story, but he tried 10,000 times and failed 10,000 times. And people will look on and say, wow, he failed 10,000 times. But listen to what he says, a famous quote from Thomas Edison. He said, I have not failed 10,000 times. I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work. Isn't that awesome? You see, when you fail, don't just sit there and say, I'm not going to try that again. No, listen, the Lord wants you to excel in whatever you set your heart on. Hopefully, it's something that he wants you to do. So strive to be the best Christian man or woman or student or whatever you are. And if you fail, understand this, God's grace is sufficient. That's what grace is for. You see, some of you say, I don't want to sin, do this sin anymore. Whatever the sin is, and you fail and you feel condemned, listen, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord will say, come, get up. When I was teaching my daughter to ride, you know, she was riding and she'd fall over and, get up, don't stay there and cry, you know. And I help her out. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Don't stay there and cry and pout about failing in your sin. Listen, he's not going to condemn you. If you're feeling condemned, it's the enemy that's pointing to you and say, see, what kind of Christian are you? No, listen, that's what God's grace is for. It's for falling. Don't jump, but it's for falling. So strive to be the best Christian man, woman. God's mercy is new every morning. I will close with this verse. A New Year's resolution, a daily resolution for Paul. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. And I'm reading from the NIV. It says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I resolve to know nothing else but Christ and him crucified. In another passage, he said, I count all things lost. Everything that I've gained, I counted lost so that I can know Christ. You see, Paul was striving for that one thing because, again, when we get that one thing, when we get Christ, listen, he will transform us and all of the other areas and some of the things that we sometimes set out to do, whatever it is, that's maybe not what the Lord wants you to focus on. And you'll be striving and oftentimes failing. But when God put it on your heart and say, this is what I want you to do, listen, he's going to strengthen you to do it. And so we are to do it at all our hearts. And so I open the study by asking, how many of you have things to change, that wants to change? I see, well, it's only two now, so all of the rest of you see me after so we can do some counseling. Hey, we all have areas in our life to change, and listen, that's what Christianity is all about. It's not you changing yourself. We can't change ourselves. Before I came to the Lord, I tried as I may, but I keep failing until the Lord came in my heart and in my life. And listen, I never set out to be anything. But what I find is that as I strive to know the Lord, that he changes me. He makes me a better husband, a better father. There's still a lot of areas that needs to be changed. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. But he's transforming me. And all it takes is us to sit with the Lord, sit under his word, under his teaching, open his word and pray. Listen and understand this. You may wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. And you're going to do it and you're going to fail. But guess what? Set a daily resolution. The next day, get up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to get in my word today. And you keep going for it. Towards that again, and all of the other areas in your life, he will straighten out. And so, if you will join me in prayer as we just ask the Lord for strength. Father, your word says that when we are weak, you are made strong. And Lord, the fact that we all know that there's areas in our lives that we are weak in, that we want to see change, but Lord, we have no strength to change. Lord, we know that's an opportunity for you to show up in our lives and bring about that change that you so desire. And so, Lord, we're tired of making New Year's resolution. We want to make one resolution, and that's to know you and become more like you. And so, Lord, give us now your Holy Spirit. Empower us by your Holy Spirit that we may be able to change what we can't. And so, Father, as we even go off into this night and count the final moments of this year, Lord, we want to wake up tomorrow knowing that we have trusted you as Lord and Savior. And if you were even to come tonight, that we will have a place with you in heaven. And so, if I may, if before I close this time, before we even say amen, if anyone is here and you haven't yet given your life to the Lord, if you don't know for sure that if you die tonight, or if the Lord comes back, and I wish he would, and rapture the church and take his people to heaven, if you're not in that number, I submit to you, why not give your life to the Lord? Because here's the deal, 10 out of 10 people will die. And the Bible tells us after this life, then comes the judgment. And if you stand before God and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? If you say, well, I'm a good person, well, understand there's none of us that's good. The fact that every day that we wake up, we are living beings, we are sinners. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And if you try to stand before the judge, listen, he will consider you guilty and condemn you. But listen, but Jesus Christ came and he died for us. He shed his blood. He lived a perfect life. And he says, here's the gift that I want to give you, eternal life, if you will only receive it. And so if you're here tonight and that is your heart, I will simply ask that you pray this prayer with me. Father, Lord God, Please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. Wash me clean. Lord, this night, on this last day of this year, 2014, I give my life to you. I surrender to you. I don't want to turn over a new leaf, Lord. I want to be a new creation in you. And so, Father, please save me. I thank you that your Son is providing this free gift to me. And Lord, I receive it. And I look forward to being with you in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.